that you would please help me as I attempt to preach your word this morning, Lord. As we look at this subject this morning, I pray you, Holy Spirit, would come upon me. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit would use me, Lord, that I would just be a vessel, that the message and the notes that have been prepared this morning, that they would be instructive and that they would teach us, Lord, but that they would also challenge and encourage us. Father, I pray you'd help us as we look at this subject this morning. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we're there in Mark chapter number 5. And like we talked about earlier, we're continuing through our series on the subject of spiritual warfare. Last week, we dealt with angels. The week before that was kind of an introductory sermon. This week, we're dealing with the subject of demons. Now, I'm going to call them demons, although our King James Bible does not call them demons. Just by way of introduction, let me give you a few things. The Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, calls what we call demons, or what most people call demons, the Bible calls them devils. Now, we understand that there is a devil, alright, Satan, and we'll study him next week, but the Bible calls them devils. But if you remember, I'm not going to take the time to go through it, because we covered it in sermons prior, but if you remember, the demons are fallen angels, according to the Bible. And when we started when we studied angels, we saw that angels, the Bible calls them in multiple different places, that tells us that they are spirits, okay? So an angel is a spirit according to the Bible. So the demon is also a spirit because it was an angel. So the Bible calls them devils. The Bible also calls them unclean spirits. The Bible calls them seducing spirits. The Bible calls them evil spirits. The Bible calls them foul spirits. The Bible calls them familiar spirits. So all of those names, as you're reading through the Bible, if you see the phrase, you know, evil spirit, seducing spirit, foul spirit, just remember, that is a reference to a demon in the Bible. And I want you to understand this. The Bible calls them devils. The Bible calls them these spirits. So number one this morning, I want to talk about the attributes of a demon possession. When someone is demon possessed, what are the attributes, or what does that look like? How do they act? And you got to understand this, okay? The Bible is not fairy tales. The Bible is true.
Amen.
Demons are real. Devils are real. Possessions are real. It's not something that happened, you know, back in the days of Jesus. I promise you, it's happening today. And the Bible is very clear about that. And let me just give you a few things to look at. Mark chapter number 5 there. Look at verse number 1. We read the whole chapter. We read it in its context. Brother Vincent, would you mind if I just get a glass of water, a cup of water or something? I appreciate it. Mark chapter number 5. Let me just give you a few things to think about, alright? A possessed person, a possessed individual is going to be attracted to death. They're going to be attracted to death. Are you there? You're there in Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 1. This is one of the most well-known stories in the Bible of Jesus casting out the devil. And Jesus did it multiple times. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Jesus did it multiple times in the Bible, but this in this passage, and we'll look at some parallel passages, you get the most description about it. If you look at verse 1 there, Mark chapter 5, verse 1, and the Bible says, "And they came over into the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately," now I want you to notice, make note of this, there met him out of the tombs. You see that? So out of the cemetery, out of where the dead people are, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. You see that? An unclean spirit is a devil. The Bible says that this demon-possessed man comes out to meet Jesus, but notice where he comes out of. He comes out of tombs. Now, you understand, I'm going to give you some attributes of demon-possessed people, and I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it multiple times, because I want you to understand what I'm saying. Every one of these attributes, just because somebody does one of these attributes, does not mean that they're demon-possessed, okay? But you need to understand that these are attributes of people that are possessed. And people say to me today, you know, well, back in the days of Jesus, there was lots of people that were demon-possessed. But today, people aren't demon-possessed. I promise you, you go out on a Friday night in suburban America to a cemetery, and you'll find young people hanging out in cemeteries. Did you know that there's young people that hang out in cemeteries right now? There's a whole group of young people, there's a whole movement of young people today that worship death. The Bible says, keep reading, look at verse 3. Who had his dwellings amongst the tombs. Do you see that? And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And alway, night and day, was, notice what it says, in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. I'm not telling you that just because someone, you know, is constantly talking about death, or just because someone dresses in black and paints their nails, but I'm not saying they're demon possessed. But I need to tell you this. So when someone has a love for the concept of death, there is definitely a demon type of influence or a devil type of influence in that. You just got to realize that comes with demon possession. Keep your finger there in Mark. Go with me to the book of Proverbs. Just real quickly. Proverbs in the Old Testament. Proverbs. If you open up your Bible, right smack down in the center, you'll more than likely fall in the book of Psalms. And right after the book of Psalms, you got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 8. Proverbs chapter number 8. Now in Proverbs 8, just so you understand, wisdom is personified. So Proverbs 8, you got wisdom talking, but you got to understand this. The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If you're going to have wisdom in your life, you'll have it through God. And here wisdom is speaking, Proverbs 8:36, the Bible says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. Now notice what wisdom says. Wisdom says this, all they that hate me love what? Death. You see that? Bible says if you hate wisdom, you'll love death. To hate wisdom, you got to hate God, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm just trying to tell you, there are attributes, there are influences, there are things that come with demon possession, and one of those is the adoration, one of those is the curiosity, one of those is the being, you know, interested in the subject of death. You may want to remember that when Halloween rolls around in a couple months. You say, you're against Halloween? I'm just saying that a whole holiday devoted to the worship of death is not a good thing according to the Bible. Amen. You got a possessed people are attracted to death. Go back to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, look at verse 3. Possessed people are attracted to death. Not only are they attracted to death, possessed people, you got to understand this. Possessed people can do what you and I would consider supernatural things. Go to Mark chapter number 5. Look at verse 3. Look what the Bible says about this possessed person. Who had his dwellings amongst the tombs. Now notice what it says. And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Now keep your finger there in Mark chapter 5 and go with me to the book of Luke. You got Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke. The very next book, the next book in the Bible, the next gospel there is the book of Luke. Go to Luke chapter number 8. Now in Luke 8, you have with Mark 5 what's known as a parallel passage. What that means is it's two different books, but they're telling the same story. And God does that so that we can learn different aspects of the story there. In Luke chapter number 8, you've got a parallel to Mark 5. And I just want you to see this. Keep your finger in Mark 5 because we're coming back to it. Luke chapter number 8, the Bible says, look at verse number 28. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 28. The Bible says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God, Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. Verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Now notice what it says. For oftentimes it had caught him and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. You got to understand this. This man had been chained up and literally just been able by pure force just to break those bands. Demon possessed people can often do supernatural things. Now I'm not going to sit here and tell you a bunch of stories because I don't even know how many of them are true. But and we'll talk about, I want you to remember this because we'll talk about it later on in the passage. But you go to some countries that are not as civilized as ours, and I promise you, you'll find demon possessed people doing some supernatural things. Now, you ask, are there demon-possessed people in America? I believe there are. Are they necessarily doing a lot of supernatural things? I'll tell you the honest truth, I don't think they are, not in America. You say, why is that? Well, we'll talk about it in a little bit towards the end of the sermon. But you need to understand this, and if you can understand this, I think it would really help you. Everything in America is compromised. Most churches are compromised. Most churches, you're not going to go and hear a whole lot of Bible. Most churches, and if you do hear Bible, it's going to be a positive only message.
God loves you. God grace for you. You know, we're going to preach a 56-week series on the subject of grace. And then we're going to preach a 56-week series on the subject of love. And then we're going to go back to grace. You know what I mean? That's the average church in America. And look, I'm all for love and I'm all for grace. But there's a lot more in the Bible than just love and grace. But the reason you say, you know, there's things, the Bible calls it sin. Bible calls it judgment. There's a lot in the Bible. You say, well, why do most people not preach against sin? Because that doesn't attract the crowd. See, everything in America is compromised. You got to understand. And whenever you look at religion in America, you're looking at compromised religion. People say,
well, you know, those radical Islamists over in that other country, you know, they're cutting people's heads off and they're doing this and they're that. But in America, you know, the Islam is a lot more thing.
You got to say, everything in America is compromised.
Amen.
They should be doing what those guys are doing. Those guys, they're not the radicals. They're just doing what their religion tells them to do.
But in America, it's compromised.
You know, you hear about these Catholics in other countries that literally will crucify themselves. In the Philippines, they'll crucify. They'll beat themselves. And they'll do all these things. These Catholics, and people say, well, we don't do it in America. But if they followed their religion, they would do it. It's just everything in America is compromised.
And demon activity in America is compromised.
You say, well, in Haiti and in these jungles, they do all these weird things, and people do all these things. But why don't they do it here? Because here, the influence is still devilish. The influence is still of the devil. But you got to understand this: it's more subtle in America. But you got to understand, demon possessed people can do supernatural things. Letter C, Mark chapter 5. Look at verse 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 5. Possessed people, Pastor Jimenez, I don't think possessed people, I don't think we have a whole lot of demon activity today in America. Are there young people that are worshiping death in America? Is there a group of young people that are into gothic type stuff that listen to the rock and roll music? It's all about suicide, it's all about killing. You say, well, yeah, that's just those gothics. Oh, really? Listen to rap. What's rap about? Killing.
Amen.
What's rap about? Murder. What's rap about? Violence? You don't think that's a demon influence in America? You turn on your television and you'll watch more violence, you'll watch more rape, you'll watch more murder, you'll watch more killing. I mean, some show, you sit down and your whole show, my favorite show is all about CSI this and CSI that. It's all about what? Killing people. You don't think that's an influence in America? The fascination we have with death? You don't think the devil has influenced us?
Amen.
Demon-possessed people have influenced a love of death. Demon possessed people, look at Mark chapter 5, look at verse 5. I want you to see this, verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and, look what it says, cutting himself with stones. Are there people in America that cut themselves today? Oh, but we don't have demon influence in America. No, we don't. You need to just wake up. Realize the devil is real. It's not normal for someone to want to cut themselves. It's not normal for someone to want to hurt themselves. Am I against me? No, we love people we need to love everyone. We need to try to help anyone. And please don't misunderstand. I did not say because someone cut themselves, they're demon possessed. But you got to understand that. That is an influence that comes from the devil. That is an influence that comes from Satan.
Man.
That is an influence that does not come from God. But no, that doesn't happen here. Letter D. Go back to Luke chapter number 8, if you would, please. Luke chapter number 8. Look at verse 26. Luke chapter number 8, verse 26. We're looking at the same passage, just same story, just looking at different parallels. Luke chapter number 8, look at verse 26. Luke 8, 26. And they arrived, Luke chapter 8, verse 26, and they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time. I want you to notice this. I want you to see it. And wear no clothes. Do you see that? This guy was naked. Neither abode in any house but in the tombs. Now you need to understand this. The book of Revelation tells us God looks down at a church in the book of Revelation and he says, you're naked and you don't even know it. Because the standards of what God calls nakedness is different than what you and I call nakedness.
And that's a sermon for another day. I don't have time to develop that. You can study that on your own. Or you can go, if you go on our website, you can listen to, I preached a sermon once entitled Nakedness, Modesty, and Identity. And it'll show you what the Bible, what God considers nakedness, and what you and I consider nakedness, are two different things. What God considers nakedness and what this society, I shouldn't say you and I, but what the society considers nakedness are two different things. But the Bible says that nakedness is associated with demon-type activity.
You say, well, is there, we don't really have a lot of naked people running around in America, do we? Oh yeah, go to the beach. Oh yeah, go to the carnival. Go to the state fair.
So, well, those people aren't naked. What you consider naked and what God considers naked are two different things.
That's right.
Maybe you ought to study it out. Maybe you ought to just look up every time the Bible uses the word naked in the Bible. Nakedness. And see what God thinks of it.
But nakedness is associated with demon activity or possession. Letter E. Go with me to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. We're going to get away from this story for a little bit. Look at a couple other things. Mark chapter number 9. Now, I want to give a little bit of a disclaimer before I say this, okay? Because some of you don't like to listen. And someone's going to come up to me and say, do you believe that? Hey, that's not what I said. So listen very carefully to what I'm about to say. Someone's going to send me an email. I was listening to your sermon online and you said that. And that's not what I said. But demon-possessed people may, the key word is may, be oppressed by what we consider in our society today a sickness or a mental illness. I did not say if someone is mentally ill, they're demon-possessed. I did not say if someone is sick, they're demon-possessed. If you walk out of here and say, everybody says that, everybody's mentally ill, demon-possessed,
you are a liar. You're not going to listen.
But you got to understand that sometimes the influence of demon possession is manifested in what you and I would call sicknesses or illnesses. Let me show it to you. Mark chapter number 9, look at verse 17. Mark chapter number 9, verse 17. Are you there? Mark 9, 17. I want you to see this.
And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee a son which hath a... Now notice what it says. Dumb spirit. You see that?
Go to Mark chapter 9, look at verse 25. Mark chapter 9, verse 25.
And when Jesus saw the people, that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, you see that? Saying unto him, now notice what he calls the foul spirit, thou dumb and deaf spirit. You see that?
Now, deaf is a reference to not being able to hear. Dumb is a reference to not being able to speak. He says, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. Go to Luke chapter number 11. Now, Pastor Mendel, are you saying everybody who's deaf is demon possessed?
That's not what I said. Read the Gospels. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
You'll find that Jesus heals a lot of people that were blind. He heals a lot of people that were dumb. He heals a lot of people that were deaf. And they were just, they had a sickness and he healed it. But sometimes someone would come to them that was blind or deaf or dumb, and Jesus would identify, the problem here is not a physical problem. The problem here is not a sickness. The problem is that they're being oppressed by a demon. And he said, all I gotta do is just cast out that spirit. You understand what I'm saying?
Amen.
Go to Luke chapter number 11. Did I say that everyone who's deaf is demon possessed? No, I did not. I'm sure I'll still get an email. Luke chapter number 11. You guys wonder why you did so poorly in school. I can tell you exactly why you did so poorly in school. You don't. Not good at listening. Luke chapter number 11. Look at verse 14. We're getting on a private time. Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Look at verse 14. Luke chapter number 11, verse 14. The Bible says, Luke 11, 14.
And he was casting out a devil.
What was he casting out?
A devil. He was casting out a devil, and it was dumb. You see that? And it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, look what it says. The dumb spake, and the people wondered. I'm not saying that every time someone's sick, they've got a demon, but you and I need to understand that sometimes the manifestation of the influence of a demon or a devil will manifest itself in what you and I call a sickness.
Let me give you another example. Go to Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Matthew chapter number 7. Look at verse number 14. Matthew chapter number 7. Look at verse 14. I'm sorry, I said Matthew 7. I meant Matthew 17. Matthew chapter number 17. Matthew chapter number 17. Look at verse 14. Matthew chapter number 17. And look at verse number 14. Matthew 17, 14, the Bible says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying," now notice what the man says, verse 15, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic." You see the word lunatic? What does that mean? The word lunatic means he's insane. He's crazy. If he was alive today, they would put him in some hospital. Now here's what it says. "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me." Verse 18. And Jesus rebuked the what? Devil. Now this guy was diagnosed as what? Being crazy. A lunatic. Being insane. Jesus said, "There's nothing wrong with him. He's just being oppressed by a devil." And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child, what it says, and the child was cured from that very hour. Now listen, I'm warning you right now. One of you walks up to me after the service and says, "So, did you think that everyone who's mentally ill has a demon?" I may just slap you, okay? Because I did not say that. Not everyone who's mentally ill has a demon. But sometimes, the oppression of a devil will manifest itself in what you and I would think, "Oh, they just have a mental illness." Listen to me very carefully. And I've studied this a little bit. I'm not an expert. But there's a lot of studies that have been done in regards to people that have gone through traumatic experiences, maybe as a child or maybe even through war or something like that. And to be able to deal with that shock, their subconscious develops a alternative personality. Okay? I'm not discounting that at all. Our mind is very powerful. And I'm sure that our minds could do that. And I'll tell you this right now. I don't think everybody who has multiple personalities is demon possessed. But you better believe that some people who are diagnosed with multiple personalities do not have multiple personalities. They've got some demons. You understand that? I did not say everyone personal, because you know, everybody has somebody in their family who has something that I mentioned. I preach about the queers, and, well, you know that my aunt, neighbor's cousin, you know, I think they're a homosexual, and I was like, "Oh, okay, well, that changes everything. Okay, forget everything the Bible says about it, you know, because you've got someone related to it." You understand what I'm saying? Amen. Not everyone has a multiple personality even possessed. But sometimes these things manifest themselves in those ways. And the Bible is very clear about that. Go to Mark chapter number 9. I don't know how I can make it more clear. Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. Look at verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Mark 9, 17. Letter F. Possessed people often cannot be in control of their own bodies. Mark chapter number 9, if you look at verse number 17, Mark 9, 17, the Bible says, "And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever," now notice what it says, "he," referring to the dumb spirit, "wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And he answered, by the way, this is the same story we just read in Matthew 17, a parallel passage. Look at verse 19. And he answered and said, "O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me." Verse 20. "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him," look what it says, "straightway the spirit tear him." The spirit tear the young boy. "And he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming." You know, this happens today. This happens right now. Verse 21. And he asked his father, "How long is it ago since this came unto him?" And he said, "Of a child." Let that sober you up for a second. You better be very careful what you expose your children to. You better be very careful what you allow your children to be influenced by. The Bible says even a child
could be demon possessed. Verse 22. And oftentimes, it hath cast him into the fire. You know that there are people today that hurt themselves? Oh, well, they've got a mental illness and we just got to go take care of them. There are people today that cut themselves, that put themselves in fire, that do all sorts of stuff like that. And it hath cast him into the fire and into waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us.
Can you imagine being this young boy's father and just saying, can you please help us?
Did I say that everybody who has these things is demon possessed? No, I did not. But you need to understand that these are attributes. These are influence that come with it. Verse 23. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, that's the key every time. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, the father of the child cried out. I love the story because I love the father. Because Jesus said, he says, can you help me? Jesus said, if you can believe, if you can have faith, you can help me.
You ever struggled with faith? Maybe you're perfect. I don't know.
But he says to the father, he says, if you can believe, and the father's response, now notice, the father responds like any of us would respond as a father. He says, look at verse 24 again. And straightway the father child cried out, because Jesus said, if you believe, and the father child cried out and said with tears, notice, with tears, Lord, I believe. And he says, help thou mine unbelief. He says, I believe. But then he realizes he's talking to Jesus, and he realizes, you know that I struggle. He said, can you just help my unbelief? Look at verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. Go to Luke chapter number 8. Look at verse 28. Luke chapter number 8. Verse 28.
Luke 8:28. We gotta move through this quickly.
Luke 8:28. The Bible says, when he saw Jesus, he cried and fell down before him. And when the loud voice said, what am I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. This is the demon. Remember the one, the first one we looked at?
Yeah.
Verse 29. For he said, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it had caught him. Notice, the spirit. For oft times it, the spirit, had caught him, the man, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake bands and was driven, notice, was driven of the devil into the wilderness. Sometimes demon-possessed people cannot control themselves. They're not in control of their bodies. Now listen to me very carefully. Actually, keep your finger there and, well, let's see. Go to 1 Corinthians, just real quick. I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. The Bible teaches, did we just look at a bunch of passages that show an unclean spirit or a foul spirit or an evil spirit taking control of an individual and forcing that individual to do things that that individual would not normally do? Did we just see that?
Yeah.
Okay? Now let me show you a parallel to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 32. I want you to see this. Now 1 Corinthians 14 is a very well-known passage. There are some movements in our country that this is their favorite chapter. I mean, it talks about speaking in tongues and they just want to deal with it. This is where they camp. And they'll say, see, you know, the Holy Spirit is going to come and He's going to take over your body and He's going to make you do things. And I've talked to people that have spoken in tongues before and you ask them afterwards, they'll say, I don't remember anything. I don't remember what I did. I don't remember any of that. People, you have to show them a video of what happened because they don't know. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 14:32. Pastor, it's so exciting. It's amazing. I've seen it. Well, the Bible has this really nasty thing it does. It gets in the way of our excitement. 1 Corinthians 14:32. Are you there? Look at what the Bible says. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the what? Do you see that? You know what that just says to us? The Bible says that God is never going to take over your body and make you do something. God says the spirit of the prophet is subject, or it's under the authority of the prophet. So guess what? When I'm preaching here, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will come upon me, and that the Spirit of God will lead me, and that the Holy Spirit will use me to minister the Word. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is never going to make me do something that I don't allow it to. Because God doesn't take over your body.
God doesn't make you say things or do things that you later on don't remember. And the only time you see an individual doing something in the Bible, when they're not in the driver's seat, they've got a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are you saying that everybody's in the movement is demon possessed? You're not listening. What I'm saying is God doesn't take over your body. What I'm saying is God doesn't force you to do anything. I love that he ends the chapter about the speaking in tongues with the spirit of the prophets is subject to the prophets. God's going to use you, but God's going to use you out of a willing heart. God's not just going to take you and make him, well, he made me say this, and he made me say that, and he made me do this, and he made me do that, and I didn't even know what was going on. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. God gives us a free will. If God did that, he should have just taken care of this whole mess a long time ago. When Eve was getting ready to take that fruit, she just had the Holy Spirit just slap it out of her head. I mean, if God's going to come over us and control us, that's why the Bible says, whosoever will may come. Why? Because it's your choice. Amen. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, if thou shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Why? Because it's your choice.
Amen.
The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that, why? Because God is interested in your heart. He's not interested in forcing you to do something.
Amen.
But you know who you do find being forced to do things? People under influences of devils. I know the Bible just messed up all your doctrine, but that's what the Bible says. Go to Mark chapter number 5. Mark chapter number 5. Look at verse 6. Pastor Jimenez, are you mad at people? I'm not mad at anybody. We love you. No, you gotta say, you know, you say, well, I saw this guy. I know this guy. He cuts himself. You gotta pray for that person. I mean, serious.
Amen.
You gotta love that person. I mean, serious. You got to witness that person. I mean, serious. We're not preaching these things so you get some pharisaical attitude. Well, I'm going to look down on that individual. You got to look down on anybody. You got to love everyone. You got to accept everyone. And the love, hey, by the grace of God, that could have been you.
Amen.
And by the way, you're just as much of a sinner as they are.
Amen.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You're not any better than they are.
Amen.
Mark chapter number 5. Letter G, possessed people are often possessed by multiple devils. Possessed people are often possessed by multiple devils. Mark 5, look at verse 6. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. And he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, Jesus asked the unclean spirit, what is thy name? Now notice what he answers. He answered and said, my name is Legion. You know what Legion is? At this time, they would have the Roman Empire. During the Roman Empire, they'd have these Roman militaries, and they would have what's called a Legion. It was 1,000 soldiers. This spirit said, Jesus, what's your name? He said, I can't even tell you my name. Just call us Legion. There's so many of us. He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Do you see that? Look at verse 10. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. So notice, Jesus says, what's your name? He says, there's so many of us, I can't even give you our name. Just call us Legion, there's so many of us. And they said, will you please just send us into that swine? He said, don't send us out of the country, send us into that swine. Verse 13, forthwith, I want you to just remember this. Jesus gave them leave. I like the terminology there. That's a military term. When I was in the Air Force, you would ask for leave when you wanted to leave. You wanted to go on vacation. I like that the Bible used that military terminology. You know why? Because they gave Jesus a military terminology. Did they not? He said, what's your name? They said, we're Legion. We're like the Roman military. Jesus said, okay, well, I'm the one that's going to give you leave. You know what that means? Jesus is in control of the situation. You notice all throughout this, Jesus isn't scared of these demons. You notice all throughout this, Jesus is like, oh man, that's so weird. Jesus shows up, they're asking him for mercy. Jesus shows up, you just got to remember, don't get all scared about these things. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
Amen.
We'll talk more about that in a second. But I want you to see this. Look at verse 13. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirit went out and entered into the swine.
And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Now notice the parentheses. They were about 2,000. They were about 2,000 unclean spirits in this man. By the way, the more spirits you have, we'll look at this in a second. The more spirits you have, the more powerful or the harder the situation is going to be.
The reason this guy was able to break these bands and no one could tame him, no, he got 2,000 demons inside of him.
And they were choked to the sea. Go to Mark chapter 16. You're there in Mark 5. Go to Mark 16. Look at verse 9. Mark 16. Look at verse 9. Mark 16 and verse 9, the Bible says, Now when Jesus was risen early, the first day of the week, He appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom He had cast seven devils. Do you see that?
You've got to understand this. Oftentimes people are not possessed by just one devil or one demon. They're possessed by multiple devils.
Number one, I gave you some attributes of demon possession. Number two, I want to give you some activity of demon possession. See, you may say, I'm not demon possessed. I know I'm not demon possessed. And you can know that. We'll talk about that in a minute also.
But you could be around activity that is influenced by demons. Go to Acts chapter number 16.
Acts chapter number 16. Acts 16. Look at verse number 16. Acts 16. Verse number 16.
Acts 16 and verse 16.
Acts 16 and verse 16, the Bible says, and it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel, the word damsel means a young girl, possessed with a spirit. You see that? She is possessed with a spirit of, notice this word, divination. Know what the word divination means? Witchcraft? Talking about magic? Oh, that's just in fairy tales. You haven't read your Bible. She was possessed with a spirit of divination. Now notice, metas, which brought her master much gain by soothsaying. You see that?
So she was possessed with a spirit of divination, magic. But what she did with it was she was a soothsayer. A soothsayer is a fortune teller. A soothsayer is someone who tells the future. Now, someone who tells the future with the spirit of God is called a prophet. Someone who tells the future with a dark spirit is called a soothsayer. That's your little 1-800, I'm going to call you and ask you if this is the right person for me. That's your little palm reader. That's your little horoscope you like to read. All of that, according to the Bible, is influenced by demons. All of that, according to the Bible, is influenced by divination. Now look at verse 17. The same followed Paul and us. And cried saying, notice this young girl, she's demon possessed, she cried saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. Isn't it interesting how the demons can realize who's worshiping God and who's serving God? These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us the way of salvation. She even knows these guys can show you how to be saved. Verse 18. And this did they, this she many days.
Sorry, let me get to the right page here. Got so many notes in front of me. And did this, did she many days. Now notice what the Bible says, verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said. So Paul at first he's like, I'm not going to mess with that girl. I don't want anything to do with that girl. She's calling him, she's bothering him. And Paul, being grieved, turned.
Now notice, he said, and said to the Spirit. Notice, Paul said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And she came out the same hour. And there was problems that came with it, verse 19. And when her masters, because she was a slave, saw that the hope of their gains were gone, because they were making money off this, they caught Paul and Silas and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers. Now it's interesting to me that Paul cast out a demon out of this girl, and you think people would respond with, wow, that's great, praise the Lord, wow, that's amazing. But instead they get mad. They put him in prison.
I don't know if you caught that. Go to Luke chapter number 8. Did you catch that in the story? Luke chapter number 8. See, I don't even have it in my notes, but see if we can find it real quickly. Luke chapter 8. Where was that? I want to show you this. Was it Luke 8? No, I'm sorry. Mark 5. Mark 5. Let me just show you this real quickly, but while it's still on my mind, because I'm going to forget. Notice verse 15. Mark 5:15. The guy's demon possessed, right? Jesus comes up, heals him. Notice the change. Mark 5:15. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil. So Jesus already cast him out. They see the guy that was possessed with the devil. But notice how he's acting now. And had the legion. Notice how he's acting. Sitting and clothed and in his right mind. You see that? Guy puts clothes on. You don't have to chain him up anymore. He can just sit there. He's not out of his mind now. He's in his right mind. Praise God.
Amen.
But notice their response. They were afraid. They didn't say, "Wow, praise the Lord. Man, look at that. That's amazing." They got scared. Look at their response. Verse 16. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devils and concerning the swine. Notice their response. Verse 17. And they began to pray him, Jesus, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. Let me tell you something. The world is more comfortable with demons and devils than with Jesus Christ. Do you understand that?
Amen.
That's why I'm not saying this is not an example of someone being demon possessed. But I'm telling you, there's a reason why someone can be on drugs. There's a reason why someone can be on alcohol. There's a reason why someone can be cheating on their wife. There's a reason why someone can be running with gangs. There's a reason why someone can be, you know, breaking into places. And the world, man, they're high-fiving you. You are so cool. You are so great. That person gets saved. That person gets cleaned up. That person gets them a Bible. That person starts coming to church. That person starts talking about Jesus.
Amen.
You know what the world says?
What's wrong with you?
Our world is more comfortable with the devil than Jesus Christ. You've got to understand, we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual warfare. Activity of demon-possessed people. We were talking about the young lady. Here's what I want you to see. That young lady, she was possessed with a spirit of divination, right? Magic, witchcraft. Go to Leviticus. Leviticus in your Old Testament. Leviticus chapter number 20. You got Genesis, Exodus, and then you got the book of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter number 20 in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter number 20. Look at verse number 27. Leviticus chapter number 20. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 20 and verse number 27. Leviticus 20 and verse number 27. The Bible says, and a man also, or a woman, that hath a familiar spirit. Remember, these spirits are demons. And a man also, Leviticus 20:27, that hath a familiar spirit. Now notice what goes with a familiar spirit. Or that is a wizard. Do you see that? No, it's just fairy tales. I just read that in Harry Potter. Or that is a wizard shall surely be put to what? What does God? What does God think about it? God said in my society, God says when I make the laws, people, wizards and familiar spirits, put those people to death. They shall stone them with stones, their blood shall be upon them. I'm not saying that that's what we should do today. This is a society of God, the Old Testament Israel. They're living under the laws of the Bible. We're living in America. But you need to understand that that's how God feels about it. Go to Isaiah chapter 19. Isaiah, towards the end of the New Testament, you got those big books of the prophets there. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Go to Isaiah chapter number 19. Isaiah chapter number 19. I want you to see this. Isaiah chapter number 19. Look at verse number 3. Isaiah chapter number 19. Look at verse number 3. Isaiah 19:3. And the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof. Now notice what it says. Isaiah 19:3. They shall seek to idols. I want you to remember that. They shall seek to idols and to the charmers, a reference to magic, and to them that have familiar spirits, and to the wizards. You need to understand this. People, now some people are just what our world calls posers. But people who are actually into witchcraft and can actually perform what's known as black magic, I'm telling you something. Those people are demon possessed. Your little Harry Potter that you like so much. I just love the little Harry Potter movies. If Harry Potter was alive today, if he was a real person, he'd have a demon. Do you understand that? Well, I don't think you should be saying that. I know. Most churches aren't preaching this. Most churches, it's like, well, let's study grace again. The Bible says that wizards and witches and witchcraft and palm readers and horoscopes and all those little things that you think they're just so much fun.
God says you're messing with something you don't want to be near. If those are demons, those are devils, he said, I don't want you anywhere near that stuff.
The activity of demon-possessed people is the activity of witchcraft and soothsaying. Go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. Now listen. Once every couple years, we preach a sermon around here about grace. We like grace. Actually, you know what? You love grace so much, you got to go soul winning with us. That's all we preach. We're out soul winning.
Amen.
For by grace are you saved through faith.
And that not even, maybe that's why we don't talk a lot about grace around here. We talk about it so much Saturday morning, Wednesday afternoon.
Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 17. Deuteronomy 32, 17. Demon-possessed people are often, their activity is often that of witchcraft and soothsaying. But you got to understand this, okay? And this is probably going to be the hardest thing I think most people get.
Demon-possessed people are often very religious people. Did you just hear what I said? Demon-possessed people are often very religious people.
Are you there in Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 17. Now I'm going to show you in the Old Testament, and I'm going to show you in the New Testament, Deuteronomy 32, 17. They sacrifice unto devils and not to God. The Bible says when they would give a sacrifice to an idol, they were not sacrificing to God, they were sacrificing to the devil. To God, so you see that lowercase g there, as opposed to the capital G-O-D right before it? To gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 19. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse 19. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10, 19. What say I then? 1 Corinthians 10:19. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the thing which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils. I'm not trying to offend you, but in these other religions, when they put out a little plate of food to some overweight statue, and they call it Buddha. You say, well, we're sacrificing to Buddha. No, you're sacrificing to the devil. Idols are devils, is what the Bible says. You
know, where in our culture, we've got 1,000 gods. We've got the god of the cow, and we've got the god of the this, and we've got the god of that. You don't got the god of nothing. You got a whole lot of devils. That's what the Bible says.
1 Corinthians 10:19. Look what it says. What say I then? That the idol is anything? Or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? He says, because here's what they were saying. They were saying, it's just a game. You know, it's nothing. He said, is it really anything? Is it really nothing? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with what? Should you have fellowship with devils? Should you be around devils? Verse 21. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy, more towards the right in your New Testament there. 1 Timothy, you can find all those T-books. You got 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, find the T-books. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're almost done. Not really, but
amen.
We're almost done with this page. No. And then we got one more. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. No, it won't be long. Just stay with it. 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We're getting ready to land this thing, okay? 1 Timothy 4. Now, you say, well, those idols, they were worshiping devils back then. They were worshiping devils. But today's religious people, they're much cleaner than that. Oh, really? 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Are you there? I want you to see this. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, capital S, you see that? That's the Holy Spirit. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, or in the later times, those are the times we live in today, some shall depart from the faith. Now notice what it says. Giving heed, the word heed there means giving attention to seducing spirits. You see that? and doctrines of what? Devils. The word doctrine is talking about something you're taught. So the Bible says in the latter times, that's where you and I live, there's going to be people that are going to be giving heed to seducing spirits, and they're going to be teaching doctrines of devils. Now you say, well, what is a doctrine of a devil? Look at verse 21. I'm sorry, verse 2. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Verse 3. Let's see if we can identify these doctrines of devils. Let's see if we can identify these doctrines of devils in religions in 2013. Forbidding to marry. Are there religions in America today that forbid people to marry?
Amen.
Are there religions in America today that forbid their priests to marry? Are there religions in America today that say that their ministers can't marry? Bible says you teach someone they can't get married. That's a seducing spirit. That's a doctrine of devils. Forbidding to marry, look what it says, and commanding to abstain from meats. Are there religions in America today that say, oh no, I can only eat fish on this certain day because I'm supposed to abstain from meat? Are there religions in America today that say, well, no, we don't eat that. You can't eat that pork. You can't eat this, you can't eat that. And I understand there was a dietary restriction in the Old Testament, but guess what? In the New Testament, God said to Peter, God brings down a blanket from heaven with all sorts of animals, and He says to Peter, rise up and eat, Peter. The Bible says that in the latter days, when religions tell you, you can't eat certain things, you can't marry certain... You know that there's religions today that tell people, oh, if you're white, you can't marry a black person. Oh, really? You're forbidding to marry? Because that's a doctrine of devils, is what the Bible says. You understand what I'm saying? You say, well, no, that's... It's funny how everything's a joke. Harry Potter, that's just made up. That stuff's old. You know, that's what TV does to you. It makes everything a joke. You've been influenced by demons is the problem. Forbidding, verse 3, 1 Timothy 4:3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meat, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. There's doctrines of devils. There's demonic influences today. Go to Revelation. You're there in 2 Timothy. Just keep going towards the right. Revelation chapter number 18. Revelation chapter 18. I'm not preaching about end times prophecy this morning. I don't have a lot of time to develop this. You have to study it out on your own. But let me just show you this. Revelation chapter 18. Look at verse number 2. Revelation 18 verse 2. Revelation chapter 18 and verse 2. The Bible says this. And he cried mightily with a strong voice saying, Babylon. This was a city. Okay. Babylon. The great is fallen. Okay, so we're learning here about a city that fell. A city that came under attack. And now it's what you and I may consider a third world country. This is what happened to Babylon. It used to be this great, thriving center of riches and merchants. But now it's fallen, notice, and has become the habitation of devils. But notice, and the hold of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Think what you will about America, and I think a whole lot of bad things about America, trust me. There's a whole lot of bad things to think about America.
Amen.
But you know what? There is no other country in this planet that has had more influence of the gospel and of the Bible and of Jesus Christ. You say, do you hate America? No, preaching like this is trying to save America.
Yes.
I love America. And for whatever it's worth, we've had an influence of the gospel. You got to understand this. Countries that have had the influence of the gospel are the countries that have been the most civilized. And countries that are the most civilized have the least demonic activity. You understand what I'm saying? Go to Europe. I'm not saying Europe's a good place. Bunch of socialist pacifists in Europe. But they have a history of having the gospel preached to them and they're more civilized. Go to the jungles of the Amazon. Go to the jungles of Africa. Go to Haiti, where they have rejected the gospel. They have rejected Jesus Christ. They have rejected the Word of God. Go to Iraq. Go to Iran. Would you like to live in Iran today? Not very civilized there, but what comes with rejecting the gospel is that also comes not a very civilized society, and what comes with a fallen society is a whole lot of demonic oppression.
Amen.
You just got to understand that. Are you against the Amazonian people? Man, I was born in Venezuela. I'm one of those guys. I'm not against them. We just need to give them the gospel. I'm not against them. We just need to reach them with the gospel. So how are you going to reach the people with the gospel in the jungles? We start by reaching the people with the gospel in this jungle. We start by reaching the people with the gospel in this community. Possessed people are often in less civilized societies or societies that are less influenced by the gospel. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You're there in Revelation. You want, it's close to Revelation. Just go a few pages towards the left. And you got Jude, which is one chapter. Then you got 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. We're almost done. I'm in the conclusion. Look, I'm in the conclusion. We're almost done. If you get there quickly, we could be done faster. You're the one slowing me down. 1 John chapter 4, look at verse 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Let me tell you something. You say, Pastor Glenn, you got me all freaked out now. This whole sermon about demons, I'm scared. You got to understand this, okay? Christians cannot be demon-possessed.
Amen.
Christians cannot be demon-possessed. If you are a believer, a demon cannot come live inside of you. 1 John 4, 4, the Bible says, ye are of God. Are you of God? I hope you are. If not, talk to me after the service. I'd like to get you to be of God. Ye are of God, little children, and I've overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Said a spirit's going to try to come take over. If the Holy Spirit's living inside of you, no spirit's going to come in. Don't let this sermon make you be one of those paranoid. I'm so paranoid. Oh no, I think I saw this and I saw that and I felt this and I felt that and I'm so scared about demons. You're not going to be scared about it. If you're saved, you can't be demon possessed.
Amen.
If you're saved, the Holy Spirit indwells in you. But let me just give you a couple things to think about. Go to Matthew chapter 8. We got it, man. We got to do this fast. Matthew 8, okay? We talked about demons, right? Let's talk about casting out demons. Can you cast out a demon? Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 16. Matthew chapter 8, look at verse 16. Matthew 8:16. How do you cast out a demon?
Well, I watch this movie. That's your problem right there. Number one. I watch this movie and they cast out a demon and this priest came in and he...
Oh, the guy that's talking about forbidding to marry? That's the guy that's talking about, you know, abstaining from meat? The guy that's teaching doctrines of devils? That's the guy you're going to call to cast out the devil? Really? You got to think about that. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. How do you cast out a devil? When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he, Jesus, cast out the spirits with what? His word. So how do you cast out a demon? With the word of God. And healed all that were sick. Go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Look at verse 28. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Matthew 12, 28. But if I, Jesus is speaking here, Matthew 12, 28. But if I cast out a devil by the what? Spirit of God. Capital S, Spirit of God. So how do you cast out a demon? By the Holy Spirit. How do you cast out a demon? By the Holy Scriptures. The Word of God.
Amen.
You gotta understand this. The Spirit of God is the one that casts out devils. So if the Spirit of God is indwelling you, what are you so worried about? He's the one that runs him out.
Amen.
But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to look at Matthew 7. We're going to look at Acts 19 and we'll be done. Matthew 7, Acts 19, and we'll be done. Can we cast out demons? You can through the Word of God and through the Spirit of God. But let me explain a couple things to you about casting out demons. Okay? Number one. Not everybody who casts out demons is of God. I saw this preacher on TV and he slapped this woman upside the head and cast out a demon on her. Are you there in Matthew chapter 7? Look at verse 22. Matthew 7, 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. This is Jesus speaking. He says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works. Look what he responds. Verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And he sends them to hell. Do you know that there's people who cast out devils? You say, I watched this guy on TV. He cast out a devil. Just because he cast out a devil doesn't mean he's going to heaven. There are fakers. There are shows. You can go to some churches, man, they put on a real good show. Man, there's no Bible there, but it's entertaining. You know what I mean? I mean, it was fun watching it. I love watching people get smacked. I'm just kidding. I don't even have a TV. But you understand, just because you say, well, people say to me, I cast out a demon, I must be godly. You probably are a demon. Just because you cast out, the Bible says people are going to say to Jesus, I cast out devils. You're going to say, I don't even know who you are. You're not part of this family. Go to Acts 19. Let me just show you one more thing. We're done right here. Acts 19. Acts 19. We're done. I just want to show you something about demon possessions. Because some of you are going to go out of here saying, I'm going to go cast me out a demon. Let me know how that goes. Acts 19. Look at verse 13. Look what the Bible says. Acts 19, verse 13. We're done right here. I want you to see this. Acts 19, verse 13. Acts 19, verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Okay? So you got these guys. They watch Paul. Paul's been casting out demons like crazy. Paul didn't even want... Paul's so tired of... Remember that girl? She's bothering him. He's like, I don't even want to deal with this. She kept bothering him. He's like, look, finally, just to get rid of her, he's like, cast out the demon. These guys see that. They're like, wow, I want to do that. And they say, but see, they're not saved. You know why? Because they don't say, hey, I'm going to cast you out by Jesus, my Savior. They say, we're going to cast you out by that guy. What's that guy's name? Oh, yeah, Jesus, the guy whom Paul preached. Do you understand what's going on? Look at verse 14. And there were seven sons of one Sceva. So seven guys get this idea. Hey, let's go do what Paul does and cast out some demons. Now look what it says. And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, notice what the evil spirit says to these guys. He says, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are ye? He said, you're going to cast me out by the name of who? You know Jesus, whom Paul preached? The evil spirit says, well, I know who Jesus is, and I know who Paul is, but who are you? Notice what happens, verse 16. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, that means he jumps on them, seven of them, and overcame them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. This spirit beat these guys up. What am I trying to say? Evil spirits are not something to be messing with. You know how I know these guys on TV aren't actually casting out demons? Because you ask them about doctrine, they don't know anything what the Bible says. You ask them about salvation, oh, you can lose it. You ask them about, just simple doctrines. These guys, people come here all the time. Oh, I saw this vision. I saw this thing. I cast this demon out. You ask them about the smallest thing about the Bible. You gotta understand. You don't think that this spiritual battle is some game. The demons have respect for Paul because Paul wasn't messing around. But you know what the sad part is? You and I, the average Christian, are just messing around. We're just playing games. The Bible's not real to us. Not important enough to read it. Not important enough to memorize it. Not important. You think you're going to go cast out some demon? You can't even go next door and hit your neighbor saved. I wonder if the spirits that are oppressing the community of Northgate, I wonder if they know about Verity Baptist Church. I wonder if they know why. I wonder if they know who you are. I wonder if they look at us as a joke, or if they're saying, well, I pray to God that there's demons saying, I know who Jesus is, I know who Verity is, and I don't know who you are. It's not a game. You ought to realize that there, should we be in fear? No, the Spirit of God is in you. Don't fear them. But don't go think, well, the Spirit of God is in me, so I'm going to go get me a Ouija board. It's not a game. It's real. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. Thank you for our church. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be able to have a place where you can study the Bible and you can be taught, and it's not watered down. It's not compromised. It's not made to make people feel good. It's made to teach us the Word and to maybe even sometimes correct a few things in our lives. Lord, help us to realize that there is demon activity. There is a devil. There is a Satan. He is walking about seeking whom he may devour. Lord, I pray you'd bless us. Bless us as we go out. Help us to have a good service tonight. In your precious and holy name I pray. Amen.